A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's personal. He's asking about occupational therapy for adults with ADHD, specifically for someone who's become a parent and is watching their carefully built systems collapse under the weight of split attention, kid safety, work-from-home chaos, and a spouse who's too overwhelmed to document everything he needs to know. He's got digestive issues layered on top. He thrives on predictable routines and clear processes, and he's wondering, where do you even find a good OT? What does it cost? What does the relationship look like? And why choose an OT over an ADHD coach, or a life coach, or an executive dysfunction coach? He says the choices are confusing, but his gut says OT is the right call. There's a lot to unpack here.
The prompt lands on something that most people don't realize. Occupational therapy isn't just about helping kids with handwriting or getting someone back to work after a stroke. The field has a whole branch dedicated to exactly this, helping adults with executive functioning challenges design lives that actually work. I've been reading up on this, and the fit for what's being described here is almost uncanny.
Before you go full walking encyclopedia on me, and I know you will, let's establish the baseline. What does an occupational therapist actually do for an adult with ADHD that a coach doesn't?
The core distinction is that occupational therapy is a licensed, regulated healthcare profession. It requires a master's degree or a clinical doctorate, passing a national board exam, and maintaining state licensure. An ADHD coach. There's no protected title there. Anyone can hang a shingle and call themselves an ADHD coach after a weekend certification or no certification at all. That doesn't mean coaches are bad, some are excellent, but the floor is non-existent.
The OT has an actual professional floor. The coach might have no floor at all, or might have built a very nice floor themselves. You're rolling dice either way, but with different stakes.
And the second piece is scope. An OT is trained to evaluate the interaction between a person, their environment, and the occupations. An occupation here means the activities you need or want to do, not just your job. Parenting is an occupation. Self-care is an occupation. Managing a household is an occupation. The OT's lens is, what's the mismatch between this person's capacities and the demands of their environment, and how do we close that gap?
Which is almost word for word what the prompt describes. The current life design isn't fit for purpose anymore.
An ADHD coach typically works on skill building and accountability. Structuring your day, using a planner, breaking down tasks. All useful, but it's a narrower bandwidth. The OT brings that plus activity analysis, environmental modification, sensory processing considerations, and the ability to address comorbidities. The prompt mentions a long-standing digestive issue. An OT can factor that in. An ADHD coach almost certainly can't, and ethically shouldn't.
The coach is the sous chef who helps you prep the meal. The OT is the person who redesigns the kitchen because they notice you keep bumping your hip on the counter and the lighting is giving you headaches. Different problem-solving altitude.
The prompt's description of cascading system breakdown is classic occupational therapy territory. When you have ADHD and you become a parent, you go from managing one set of executive function demands to managing two overlapping sets, one of which, the child's, is completely unpredictable. Your old systems were built for a single-threaded world. Now you're permanently multi-threaded, and threads keep crashing.
As someone who has been accused of being single-threaded myself, I feel seen.
You're a sloth. You have exactly one thread, and it runs at 0.2 gigahertz.
It gets the job done. But let's talk about this cascade. The prompt mentions that the spouse is overwhelmed and can't lay out everything that needs to be known. So there's a documentation breakdown upstream, and then the caregiver, the person with ADHD, is downstream of missing information, trying to improvise in real time. That's not an executive function failure. That's a system design failure.
An OT would look at that and say, why is the system dependent on one person being the documentation hub? Can we externalize that? Can we build a shared digital brain that both parents can access and update asynchronously so the ADHD parent isn't waiting for a briefing that may never come?
The shared digital brain is the marital Rosetta Stone of the 21st century.
I'd call it the external prefrontal cortex, but yours is more poetic. The point is, the OT is trained to do exactly this kind of environmental redesign. They're not just giving you tips. They're analyzing the task, the context, the person's specific profile, and engineering a solution that fits.
Let's get practical. Someone is convinced OT is the right call. Where do they even start looking?
There are a few paths. The American Occupational Therapy Association has a practitioner finder on their website. You can filter by specialty area, though ADHD in adults isn't always a listed filter. What you want to search for is OTs who specialize in mental health, executive functioning, or sensory processing in adults. Another route is Psychology Today's Therapist Finder, which includes OTs and lets you filter by issue, including ADHD. And honestly, a lot of the best OTs in this space are found through word of mouth in ADHD communities, subreddits, Facebook groups, local CHAD chapters.
CHAD being children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, the advocacy organization.
And here's something most people don't know. You can also look for OTs who are certified in the Assessment of Motor and Process Skills, or AMPS. It's a standardized observational assessment that measures the quality of a person's performance of daily living tasks. It's one of the few truly objective tools in the OT toolkit for adults, and it's directly relevant to the executive functioning challenges the prompt describes.
AMPS certification is a signal. What about cost? The prompt asks for approximate numbers.
This varies wildly by geography and setting, but I can give ranges. For private pay, meaning no insurance, you're looking at roughly $100 to $250 per session in the United States. Initial evaluations tend to run higher, sometimes $300 to $500, because they're more comprehensive. Sessions are typically 45 to 60 minutes. If the OT is in-network with your plan and the referral is for something medically necessary, and ADHD with functional impairment qualifies, you might pay a copay of $20 to $50 per session. The catch is that many OTs who specialize in adult ADHD and executive functioning are private pay only, because insurance reimbursement for adult mental health OT is still patchy in a lot of states.
You're paying for specialization and less administrative friction, but you're paying more. Like buying direct from the farmer instead of the supermarket.
Some OTs offer sliding scale fees or package rates if you commit to a block of sessions. It's absolutely worth asking about. The prompt's author is in Jerusalem, and I'll be honest, I know the Israeli OT landscape less well. But the profession is well established there. Kupat Holam, the health maintenance organizations, do cover occupational therapy, though the wait times for adult services can be long. Private OT in Israel might run 300 to 600 shekels per session.
That's helpful context. So the financial barrier exists, but it's not insurmountable, especially if you think of it as an investment in making the next several years of parenting not feel like drowning.
That's the right frame. Now, the prompt asks about the shape and duration of the therapeutic relationship. This is where OT really differs from coaching.
Walk me through it.
An OT relationship typically starts with an evaluation, 1 to 3 sessions, where they're doing a deep assessment. They'll ask about your medical history, your daily routines, what's working, and what's breaking. They might do standardized assessments like the AMPS I mentioned, or the Canadian Occupational Performance Measure, which asks you to rate your own performance and satisfaction across self-care, productivity, and leisure. Then they formulate a treatment plan with specific, measurable goals.
It's not. Let's chat and see what comes up. It's structured from the jump.
Then the active treatment phase might run anywhere from 8 to 20 sessions, depending on complexity. Sessions could be weekly at first, then taper to biweekly or monthly. The OT might come to your home. That's a huge differentiator. Home-based OT lets them see the environment where the breakdowns are actually happening. They can watch you try to prepare a meal while keeping an eye on a toddler and immediately spot the friction points.
Which is something a coach sitting in a Zoom call can never do. They can't see that the drying rack is in the wrong place, and it's costing you 90 seconds of divided attention every time you unload the dishwasher, which cascades into losing track of the child.
and the OT might prescribe what they call adaptive equipment or environmental modifications. But for ADHD, that often looks like visual supports, not grab bars, a whiteboard in the kitchen with a magnetic task strip, a smart speaker that announces transitions, a landing zone by the door with labeled bins so keys and bags don't vanish into the ADHD void.
The ADHD void. I believe that's the technical term.
It's in the DSM, I'm sure. Somewhere in the fine print.
The relationship has a beginning, a middle, and ideally an end. It's not indefinite coaching.
The goal of OT is to build capacity and modify the environment so that you no longer need the OT. It's inherently time-limited. That said, some people do check in periodically. A tune-up session every few months, especially when life transitions happen. New job, new child, new school for the kid. The prop describes exactly that kind of transition.
Speaking of transitions, let's talk about this digestive issue. The prompt mentions as a complicating factor. How does an OT handle something that seems, on the surface, like a purely medical problem?
This is where the OT's broad training really shines. A gastrointestinal condition affects multiple occupations. It affects eating and meal preparation. It affects sleep. It affects the ability to leave the house reliably. It affects energy levels and cognitive bandwidth. An OT won't treat the GI condition medically, that's the gastroenterologist's job, but they will factor it into every part of the occupational profile.
If you've got a condition that means you need to eat at specific times, or avoid certain foods, or be near a bathroom, the OT is designing your daily routine around those constraints, rather than pretending they don't exist.
And they might coordinate with the gastroenterologist or a dietitian. OTs are trained in interprofessional collaboration. An ADHD coach typically isn't.
That's a recurring theme here. The OT plugs into a broader healthcare ecosystem. The coach operates in a parallel universe of productivity and accountability.
Both have value. I want to be clear, I'm not anti-coach. For someone whose primary challenge is task initiation and time management, and who doesn't have significant comorbidities or environmental barriers, a good ADHD coach can be transformative and more affordable. But the prob describes something more complex. A spouse who's also overwhelmed, a medical condition. Cascading system failures. That's not a coaching problem, that's an occupational therapy problem.
It's the difference between needing a personal trainer and needing a physical therapist. The personal trainer helps you get stronger within a basically functional body. The physical therapist addresses a body where something is genuinely not working right and needs remediation. Both are valuable. Wrong one for the wrong situation is a waste of time and money.
Can actually cause harm, because the personal trainer might push you to do something that aggravates an underlying injury they're not trained to recognize. Similarly, a coach might prescribe strategies that work for a neurotypical brain but backfire for someone with ADHD, plus sensory processing issues, plus a medical condition.
Let's get into some specifics. What kinds of strategies might an OT actually bring to the table for the scenario described? Work from home parent, split attention, child safety, overwhelmed spouse.
I'd break it into a few domains. First, environmental structuring. The OT might help create physical zones in the home that make the split attention problem more manageable. If you're working from home with a young child, you need a workspace where you can see the child, but the child can't access your equipment, and where the visual and auditory input is manageable for your ADHD brain. That might mean a specific furniture layout, noise-canceling headphones with a transparency mode, and a visual timer the child can understand.
The visual timer for the child is interesting. It externalizes the boundary so you're not the one constantly enforcing it verbally, which drains executive function.
Second domain is routine engineering. An OT might help build what's called a sensory diet, scheduled activities throughout the day that provide the right level of sensory input to help with regulation. For the parent with ADHD, that might mean scheduled movement breaks. For the child, it might mean heavy work activities before quiet time. The OT designs these to work together, so the parent's regulation needs and the child's regulation needs are met in the same blocks.
Instead of the parent's needs and the child's needs competing, they're harmonized. That's elegant.
Third domain is what OTs call activity simplification. Breaking down complex caregiving tasks into steps, identifying which steps are the breaking points, and redesigning those steps. A classic example, getting out the door with a toddler. For someone with ADHD, this is a nightmare of scattered items, time blindness, and last-minute chaos. An OT might design a departure station with visual checklists, pre-packed go bags, and a consistent sequence that becomes automatic.
The departure station is basically a cockpit pre-flight checklist for domestic life. And if you've got ADHD, you need the checklist even more than the pilot does, because the pilot doesn't have a toddler actively working against the checklist's completion.
The toddler is the turbulence. Fourth domain is communication systems with the spouse. The prompt mentions that the spouse hasn't had time to lay out everything the caregiver needs to know. An OT can facilitate a session where both parents map out exactly what information needs to be transferred and then design a system. It could be a shared app, a physical binder, a nightly 5-minute voice memo. That doesn't depend on either person being at full capacity.
You're removing the single point of failure. The documentation hub is no longer a person. It's a process.
That's a classic OT move. They don't just teach skills, they modify the context so the skills you have are sufficient. That's the fundamental philosophy of occupational therapy. It's not about fixing the person. It's about creating a fit between the person and their world.
Which brings us back to the prompt's line about not being a bad father, but having a life design that isn't fit for purpose anymore. That's a profound reframe, and it's exactly the OT lens.
And I think a lot of parents with ADHD internalize these struggles as moral failings. I'm disorganized because I'm lazy. I forgot the pediatrician appointment because I don't care enough. The OT perspective says, no, you're trying to run complex software on hardware that has a different architecture, and the operating environment has changed dramatically. We need to reconfigure, not blame the processor.
The processor is fine. The operating system was built for a different set of applications. The parenthood application is resource intensive and wasn't in the original spec.
The spouse application is running at high CPU and can't handle being the documentation server anymore. You need a dedicated documentation server. That's the OT's job, to help you build it.
I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier about sensory processing. Most people hear sensory processing and think of children with autism who are sensitive to loud noises or certain textures. What does it mean for an adult with ADHD?
This is a huge and under-recognized piece. Many adults with ADHD have sensory processing differences. They might be hypersensitive to certain sounds, making open-plan offices or noisy home environments cognitively exhausting. They might seek out intense sensory input, fidgeting, chewing gum, background music, to stay regulated. They might be under-responsive to interoceptive signals, which is the sense of what's happening inside your body. That connects directly to the digestive issue the prompt mentions.
That's the sense of hunger, thirst, needing the bathroom, your heart rate.
And ADHD is associated with interoceptive differences. Someone might not notice they're hungry until they're ravenous and irritable. They might not notice they need to use the bathroom until it's urgent. For someone with a GI condition, that's a significant safety and quality of life issue. An OT trained in sensory processing can work on interoceptive awareness, building that internal signal so it registers before it becomes a crisis.
That's not something I'd expect an ADHD coach to even have in their vocabulary.
Most wouldn't. And it's a perfect example of why the OT's broader clinical training matters. They're connecting dots across domains that other professions aren't trained to see.
If someone's convinced OT is the call, what should they look for in that first phone call or email? What questions should they ask to filter out the OTs, who mainly do pediatric handwriting, from the ones who actually get adult ADHD?
I'd ask directly, what percentage of your caseload is adults with ADHD and executive functioning challenges? What's your approach to working with parents? Do you do home visits or only clinic-based sessions? Are you familiar with sensory processing issues in adults? And this is key. How do you coordinate with other providers, like a gastroenterologist or a psychiatrist?
If they hesitate on the adult ADHD question, that's your answer.
If they say, I mostly work with children, but I'm sure I can help, I'd keep looking. Adult ADHD and parenting with ADHD are specialties within a specialty. You want someone who can talk fluently about executive functioning, task analysis, environmental modification, and the specific cognitive demands of caregiving.
What about the relationship itself? The prompt asks what to expect. You mentioned it starts with evaluation, but what does the ongoing work actually feel like?
It's collaborative and practical. Sessions are active. You're not just talking. You might be rearranging a room together. You might be role-playing a morning routine. You might be troubleshooting a specific breakdown that happened that week. The OT brings expertise, but you're the expert on your own life. The dynamic is more like a consultant and a client co-designing a solution than a therapist and patient doing deep psychological work.
It's less, tell me about your childhood, and more, show me where the fruit keeps going bad because you forgot you bought it.
And there's often homework, not in the school sense, but experiments to run between sessions. Try putting a whiteboard here. Try setting a phone alarm that says, check on the laundry. Report back on what worked and what didn't. The OT iterates based on real-world data.
The scientific method applied to domestic chaos. I appreciate that.
The duration question, the prompt asks about that specifically. A typical episode of care for adult ADHD might be 3 to 6 months of weekly or biweekly sessions, then a taper to monthly maintenance, then discharge. But it's not a fixed protocol. Some people need more, some need less. The OT should be transparent about their expected timeline during the evaluation phase.
If they're not, if they seem to be stringing it along indefinitely, that's a red flag.
The goal is independence, not ongoing dependency. That's a core ethical principle in OT.
Let's address the elephant in the room, or maybe the donkey in the room, given present company. Why isn't OT for adult ADHD more widely known? It sounds almost perfectly suited, and yet most people have never heard of it.
A few reasons. First, OT's public image is still heavily pediatric and physical rehabilitation. When people hear occupational therapy, they think of a child with developmental delays or a stroke survivor relearning to button a shirt. The profession has been trying to expand its public face into mental health and adult cognitive challenges, but it's slow going.
The word occupational doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. It's a historical artifact. Occupation in the sense of meaningful activity, not employment. But it confuses everyone. Second, insurance reimbursement for adult mental health OT has historically been limited, which means fewer OTs go into that specialty, which means fewer people encounter it, which means less demand, which means less reimbursement advocacy. It's a vicious cycle.
Third, the coaching industry has filled the vacuum with better marketing and lower barriers to entry.
It's easier to find an ADHD coach because there are more of them. They market aggressively on social media, and they don't have the administrative overhead of a licensed healthcare practice. But as we've discussed, the scope is different.
The person who wrote this prompt, they're ahead of the curve in even knowing that OT is an option.
And their intuition that OT is the right port of call is, in my reading, spot on. The combination of ADHD, parenting, split attention, a medical comorbidity, and a spouse who's also overwhelmed, that's a complex occupational performance problem. It needs a professional who can address the person, the environment, and the occupation simultaneously.
I want to pull on one more thread. The prompt mentions focus blocks and split attention. There's been a lot of conversation in the ADHD world about whether multitasking is even real, or whether it's just rapid task switching with a cognitive tax. How does an OT think about that?
OTs are pragmatists on this. They don't argue about whether true multitasking exists. They observe that parents, all parents, ADHD or not, are required to do multiple things simultaneously. A parent with ADHD can't opt out of split attention. The child will not wait for a focus block to end before needing something. So the OT's question is, how do we design the environment and the routines to make split attention less costly?
Give me an example.
Let's say you're working from home and your child is playing nearby. The split attention is work task plus child monitoring. An OT might help you set up the physical space so that monitoring is low cognitive load. The child is in your peripheral vision. The hazards are removed. The child has a visual cue for when you can and can't be interrupted. Then the work task itself gets externalized. You're using a Pomodoro timer. You've got a task list that's visible. You're not relying on working memory. The goal is to reduce the cognitive overhead of both activities so the split doesn't overwhelm you.
You're not eliminating the split. You're reducing the weight of each half so the split is survivable.
And an OT might also work on what's called energy conservation. For someone with a chronic health condition plus ADHD, cognitive energy is a finite resource that depletes faster than for most people. The OT helps you budget that energy across the day, identifying which tasks are high cost and which are low cost, and sequencing them so you're not doing three high cost things in a row right before you have to be an attentive parent.
That's a concept that should be taught in every prenatal class, ADHD or not.
New parents are universally underprepared for the cognitive load of parenting. Add ADHD and you're playing on hard mode without being told the difficulty setting was changed.
The game doesn't even have a difficulty slider. It just ratchets up and hopes you notice.
The OT is the person who reads you the patch notes and helps you reconfigure your build.
I think we've made a compelling case. Let me try to summarize the practical takeaways, because the prompt asked a set of concrete questions, and we've covered a lot of ground. First, where to find an OT? AOTA Practitioner Finder, Psychology Today Therapist Finder, filtered for occupational therapy, word of mouth in ADHD communities, and look for signals like AMPS certification or a stated specialty in adult executive functioning.
Private pay in the U.S., roughly $100 to $250 per session, with evaluations higher. Insurance may cover if in-network and medically necessary. In Israel, roughly 300 to 600 shekels private or through Kupit Holim with potentially long waits.
Third, why OT over a coach? OT is a licensed healthcare profession with broad training in medical conditions, sensory processing, environmental modification, and activity analysis. A coach may be excellent for skill building and accountability, but OT is the right call when there are comorbidities, environmental complexity, or cascading system failures.
Fourth, the relationship. It starts with a thorough evaluation, moves into active treatment with practical, hands-on sessions, possibly in your home, and is designed to be time-limited. The goal is independence, not indefinite support. Expect 3 to 6 months of active work with possible maintenance check-ins.
Fifth, what the work actually looks like. Environmental redesign, routine engineering, sensory strategies, communication systems with the spouse, activity simplification, and energy budgeting. It's collaborative, practical, and grounded in real-world data from your actual life.
I'd add a sixth, which is more philosophical but important. OT reframes the struggle as a person-environment mismatch, not a personal failing. For parents with ADHD who've internalized a lot of shame, that reframe alone can be worth the price of admission.
Shame is a terrible project manager. It doesn't build systems. It just sits in the corner muttering about how you should have built them already.
That's a perfect note to transition toward wrapping up.
Before we go, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In the 1860s, a French naturalist named Charles Coquerel proposed that the red dye found in certain seabird feathers on the Seychelles came from the birds feeding on a deep-sea coral that no one had yet discovered. The theory was taken seriously for over a decade before someone realized the birds were just rubbing against iron-rich cliff faces.
The entire theory was birds with rust stains.
Sometimes academia is just describing things badly.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find every episode at My Weird Prompts. If you've got a question you'd like us to tackle, that's where you send it. We'll be back soon.
Until then, may your systems hold and your cliff faces stay iron-free.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.